Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a brand new show. It's called Money Moves. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. We got a little Friday news dump action. Here's your chief.
That's right, man. You got questions. I got answers right here at the desk after this.
You're rolling with the News Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
I was like, man, there's so many people driving around in their vehicles right now wondering, like, how many games are the Arizona Cardinals underdogs in based on their schedule? Well, if you thought all 17, you'd be freaking right, including 8 as double-digit dogs.
That's crazy.
They are double-digit dogs in over games. Half of their games for the season. And they will find a way to come into AT&T and steal our freaking lunch money.
Hell no, they won't.
No, they won't. Not this year, Walchuk.
No Kyler Murray, no problem.
It didn't matter. Last time, we didn't have Kyler. It was Jacoby Brissett freaking
but the Cowboys
tossing dimes.
Stunk.
They did, man.
I mean, I'm hoping that they're not as bad this
we'll
year.
Look back on that defense.
But it is scary. It's a scary team for whatever reason.
For some reason, I think they're 0 for their last 4 in the attempts to take down the Cardinals. But this is your best chance yet. That would be one of the saddest losses ever, as Vegas has them as a dog in every game, a double-digit dog in over half of their games this season.
Have the Cowboys been cursed against Arizona at AT&T as well?
Yeah, it's now. I mean, it really started in Arizona, but now it's been a home deal too. Yeah, really starting with that Carson Palmer team that came in here and just destroyed them.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, they went next level last year, right? When Jacoby Brissett beat you, it's one thing if you're losing to Carson Palmer and Kyler Murray's of the world.
Well, you lost to Josh Dobbs, the Pastronaut, from a few years ago. What was that? Was that in 23?
That was, in Arizona.
In Arizona, yeah. And the Pastronaut is doing quarterback keepers off the edge.
Not good.
And scooting for like 50 yards. So it really hasn't mattered who's been dropping back at quarterback for them, but this is our year, man. This is our year.
All right, that's 4 consecutive at home against these sons of guns.
Yeah, I mean, they came into Texas Stadium when Jake the Snake Plumber beat the Cowboys in a wild card game back in like 98.
Okay. All right, I'm sufficiently prepared for this.
Yeah, we have to prep our bodies no matter how awful they are leading up to that matchup. There is just something weird in the water there. Other people are driving around wondering if the Kansas City Chiefs are only favored in 11 games this season, and that would be the lowest number in Patrick Mahomes' career.
It's
and if
oddly specific.
You're wondering that right now, and I know many of you are, you'd be right. The Chiefs and Pat Mahomes favored in 11 of their games this year. That is the lowest number of Mahomes' career. Now, who do you think which team is favored to win the most games this year on their schedule? Which team is favored in the majority of their games? The Rams are favored in 16 of 17 games. I believe the only one is when they go to Seattle.
Makes sense.
To Seattle.
Not the Cowboys game?
I don't think it's when they host the Cowboys Bowl, Chuck, but I will circle back and double check. Now, this will surprise you. The team who is favored in 15 of their games this year. This is the team that is favored just behind the Rams for the most games on their schedule.
It's a surprise team?
I think it's a surprise.
Is the Lions?
I mean, because the first thing you would say, right, is probably what? Like, is it Seattle? Yeah. I don't know. Is it Buffalo? Could it be like the Ravens or something? No, it's the Bengals. The Bengals are favored in 15 of their games this year.
And they did put a lot of work into the defense, much like the Cowboys said they had to. And if you have a healthy Burrow, they are good enough to beat anybody.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But That's a lot of games to be favored in.
I know.
Maybe they've just got a super easy schedule.
Yeah, I guess I need
bad
to go
line.
Strength of sched for them, see how it is.
Bad run game, bad defense.
Well, I do think their defense is going to be better.
Well, yeah, they got Dexter Lawrence now, right?
Yeah, I mean they spent some money this year.
They got Boye Mafe.
They did.
They drafted Cassius Howell.
Yeah.
They got one of the safeties, I think, from New England or something that comes in. But they didn't get the new defensive coordinator. I think that's why I like what the Cowboys have done more, because you get an entirely new strategy defensively, and the Bengals didn't quite do that.
It is a pretty easy schedule.
Oh, yeah, they have the third easiest. According to Warren Sharp, the Bengals have the third easiest schedule in the league. The Lions with the easiest, the Saints with the second easiest. So I guess that does make some sense when you look at it that way. Now, the teams that have no primetime games, I think you guys could nail this. If I told you there's a handful of teams that have no primetime games.
Well, the Saints.
The NFL looked at these teams and said,
Arizona.
Nobody wants a standalone night where they have to snort you for 3 hours.
I hope Cleveland's not there.
It's the Cardinals. You nailed that one. Cleveland actually does. They must have at least one primetime game.
Or else.
We're tuning in for, there's some Shador tune in to be had.
Yeah, absolutely. Or Deshaun, just to see the chaos. Yeah.
The sacks as well.
Yeah.
Miles Garrett.
They say Jets, we don't need you on primetime this year.
Jets, we don't need you on primetime. Thank you. Like, just think about the teams you don't want to see.
Yeah, I don't want to see the Jets.
It's the Cardinals.
Minnesota.
It's the Jets. Minnesota's got a primer somewhere.
I'm sure they put Vegas with one. They had the number one pick.
No, dude. Vegas didn't get one.
Okay.
And I wonder how much of that is because the Raiders have come out and said, like, they want to slow play Mendoza. Like, we're going to get a healthy helping of Kirko Chains this year.
Until week six.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see how strident
they are.
Maybe
he turns back the clock.
Nobody wants to watch the Dolphins, right?
Nobody wants to watch the Dolphins. Thank you. Not even Dolphins fans do. I know, because my dad's one, and I don't think he'll watch a game this year. You have the Jets. You have the Dolphins, the Cardinals, the Raiders, and, of course,
the Titans.
Tighten up, baby. Tighten up. So, sorry about you, Bob Saleh. I thought just him alone, his presence alone would be enough for prime
year
time.
Year two?
Carnell Tate. Yeah, I know, but there's just something about the Titans that I think is
just... But those
just,
jerseys, if they're wearing those throwback Oilers jerseys, those are sexy.
They do look good. Yeah, they do look good.
They're trying to win with defense, I think, is what I realized when I deep dove the Titans recently. Like, I thought they were going to address the protection and receiver issues for Cam Ward, and they did draft Tate. They brought in another decent wide receiver.
Wandale Robinson. And then they overpaid for a bunch of guys on the defensive side.
Yes. Yeah, they brought in. I mean, a lot of the guys we were talking about with interest for the Cowboys.
Well, you got Dable, who's coming from the Giants, and he's trying to bring a bunch of Giants defenders in there. Or, I mean, just Giants players in general. Wandale Robinson was one of them. But then it was like Cordell Flott as well. They gave a nice deal at corner. They did get, Alante Taylor the Saints.
Yeah.
They gave him a pretty big bag, but yeah, the Titans are another team that the NFL's like.
Drafted Anthony Hill Jr. and Keldrick Falk.
Yeah.
But they got that dang John Franklin Myers from Denver.
That's true.
And then they got Jermaine Johnson from the Jets.
Yeah, they traded for him.
Yeah, and, Solomon Thomas.
All right, like father likes, and Aaron Whitecotton.
Yeah.
Let's not undersell what he could provide for a defense.
Well, and if Brian was here, he would interrupt Osiris with a great, soliloquy about how Whitecotton was very disappointing.
So terrible.
Here with the Cowboys.
He'd probably eat up the next 6 minutes of this segment. But he's not here.
Actually, Brian is
supposed to make an appearance because we have Tim from Carthage rolling in via Uber right now, and he wants to shake that hand to Brian Broaddus.
I don't know if he's going
to
make the appearance.
Really?
I saw him earlier today.
No, I texted him. I texted him earlier. He said he was going to be here.
Did he? Because he didn't sound like he was going to be here.
Broaddus is a man of his word. He texted me, and he said he was going to be here.
If he is on his way in, I think we would all agree we could use, some pizza earlier. That pizza discussion really piqued my appetite.
Just don't show up empty-handed,
maybe
Broaddus.
Some meatball subs.
Maybe he's listening.
Like father, like son. Well, Chuck, I know you like this.
What do we got?
Charles Woodson Jr.
I know. This is awesome. I mean, it's crazy how many former greats their kids are now playing.
Yeah. As the news desk reveals, Charles Woodson Jr. has committed to Michigan. And, of course, his dad was the Heisman Trophy winner, Charles Woodson, at Michigan many moons ago. He's a four-star DB from Orlando, Florida. So congratulations to the Woodson family carrying on the Wolverine legacy. Now, did you see the quotes from Miles Turner, who went from the Pacers to the Bucks this year?
I love it.
No, I didn't see these. I do have to give a quick shout-out to Aiden. Happy 11th birthday. Tolo Z reached out to me via DM, and I just wanted to give him a shout-out. So happy birthday, Aiden.
Breaking news here
at the
desk.
Our video coordinator.
Happy birthday, man. I thought he was young.
I didn't know
he was that young.
11 years old, man.
Incredible.
I know. It's crazy how they're getting jobs these days.
Talented kid.
So Miles Turner goes from Indiana Pacers, just stringent Rick Carlisle.
Yeah.
To Milwaukee, where apparently Doc Rivers was just letting everybody do whatever they wanted. I don't know. I think Doc Rivers has a personal mandate. I'm not going to take money from my players. I'm not going to fine them.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's just the way this reads when you hear the quotes.
Or attempt to keep them accountable in any way.
Yeah. Or zero accountability if you're playing for Doc Rivers. So Miles Turner, this was his first year in Milwaukee. So this was, he had been in Indianapolis his entire career. Now all of a sudden he's with the Bucks. He says guys were late all the time. Guys were showing up to film whenever they wanted to show up. Guys were missing meetings. It was one of the craziest things I personally ever experienced. And then the podcast host asked him, like, so who was the biggest violator of this? He says, Giannis. Mm. Giannis is going to show up whenever he wants, really. I think that this kind of just came with the territory that, and once I saw what was going down, I was like, hey, man, more power to you. They're not going to fine you. Do what you want to do. He says, but it was crazy. Guys were an hour late to the plane. He says, I got to the point where I knew not to show up until an hour after they said the plane was taking off.
That's wild.
It was crazy. Like, can you imagine? Like, everybody's just sitting on the plane waiting?
That's terrible.
That is awful.
Yeah, that's, come on.
And that's the guy that Gavin wants to bring.
I do.
To the Dallas Mavericks.
I do.
He wants Cooper Flagg sitting on his tuchus, twiddling his thumbs. To go on a road trip.
You think Jason Kidd's going to stand for that?
Hell no.
I don't.
Jason Kidd wants to make him uncomfortable.
Yeah, I would. I mean, so Miles said that he'd been in a lot of places, a lot of locker rooms, different coaches, and he'd never seen anything like this.
Yeah.
It does remind me of what we heard about James Harden in his Houston years, maybe five, 6 years back. The same type of deal. The entire team is on the plane waiting.
Embiid in Philadelphia.
We just wheels up it. We're gone, you know? We're leaving. I don't need to find anybody, you know? I'm going to lock the meeting door, and I'm going to wheels up the plane, and we're out of here because, you know, what happens when you run a loose ship like that is the people who are serious, they lose respect for you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
You know?
Yeah. It's just extremely
annoying. I've lost
respect
for him. I don't even want Giannis anywhere near my team now.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't kick him into gear, I mean, maybe maybe change of scenery would do that for him.
He's fading. He's not that good anymore.
Attitude reflects leadership, I think, was from Remember the Titans or something like that.
But yeah. I would need to know, was this prior to this season or was he just checked out? Because I do think there was an element of coming into the season, Giannis had 1 foot out the door.
And that's the tough thing that that's a balancing act for a lot of pro sports teams with their star players. And I think there are players that push the envelope on that in every organization. I mean, what do you do with Giannis, who's got the player option coming up at the end of next year, if he's showing up late? You know, do you say, if you show up late again, we're going to be mad? And he says, well, I don't play for people who are mad at me, and then just doesn't show up anymore.
It is
incredibly difficult. And that's why I think a guy like Shotty is so important, because as he showed last year in Las Vegas, he can go have the sideline moment with CD and GP after he benched him for the first couple of series, and they'll have a laugh about it and be like, hey, you know, so can you be likable? Can you keep guys accountable while maintaining that positive relationship? That is a very difficult trait. Like, over 90% of coaches would just be like, you have to earn my approval. Now I'm mad at you. Deal with it.
Yeah, and that's what, like, that's why part of the reason I think LeBron left Miami all those years ago. Pat Riley was pretty heavy-handed. He's taking his cookies and all that kind of stuff. And you can cross the line with the superstar, and it's tough in basketball because you really depend on that one guy.
Yeah.
Like in football, of course, the quarterback, and fortunately for the Cowboys, you have a guy in Dak who's as buttoned up as it gets when it comes to just being a professional and working his tail off and all that kind of stuff. You don't have to worry about that. But for the other players, you can really ding them, cut their playing time, whatever, and it's not totally nuking everything. You can't do that when Giannis is your best player.
Like, no.
I have to keep you somewhat happy, because if we're doing any winning here, you're going to be the reason why.
Yeah.
So it's stuff like the players have so much more power when it comes to just basketball in general, but especially the way the NBA has been over the last 15 years or whatever.
Yeah, so I think it's definitely worth an investigation if you are the Mavericks. But Jason Kidd would know this. Jason Kidd knows Giannis, has a great relationship with him. I think it was probably the fact that the Bucks were losing and Doc Rivers was clearly going to be let go. You know, so there's a lot going on in those, like, losing situations. Losing is toxic, and people don't want to be associated with it. But, yeah, I would definitely want some assurance that we would have You know, better participation, better, I think better leadership is what that is.
For sure.
You know, like, well, I don't have to worry about the little things. Don't have to listen to coach. If your best player is doing that, you know, maybe that's how you end up being chronic underachievers as the Bucks are. Okay, is this man moving positions the real key to Cowboys 2026 improvement? We'll do that and more Cowboys content. Then we'll get Eric Nadel in here next year on The Fan.
Fantasy football season is back, baby. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. So listen and follow Fantasy Football Happy Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 Through the Fan. And it's time now for the C-note here. Or no, I'm sorry. We got a Cowboys schedule conversation with you. And, oh, this is what we got. Tyler Smith talking with Joseph Hoy. You're going to love this. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. So, home run derby last night brought you by Reliant, I believe. Beautiful. Looked great on social. And congrats to our guy Jake Ferguson for winning it. Here you had Joseph Hoyt Morning News talking with Tyler Smith about his plans and maybe future position. Here we go.
Johnny, the front office has said they want you at guard, but they haven't really closed the door on left tackle as possibly if needed. Are you content with just how things are in that kind of discussion right now?
I mean, yeah. I mean, we had great conversations about it. I mean, I have an understanding of what it is. You know, that's the most I can ask for is just to have that understanding early on. Obviously, you know, I got the utmost faith that, you know, we're going to go out there and we're going to do what we're going to do. You know, ultimately, you know, I'll be in the position that I need to be in. So, you know, I'm good with where we're at.
The slug that Hoyt put in the tweet throwing to this video, if the Cowboys can't find a consistent option at left tackle, they might be forced to put Smith there, opening up a spot for TJ Bass at left guard. Is that the best five? I think that's really
interesting.
The catalyst for a conversation like that. And if they're going to leave it for open competition and you have Guyton, Nate, and a rookie – who you can hope for in the long term, but as a fourth rounder, odds are very stacked against you that you could be a good tackle in the NFL.
Especially
year one.
In year one, yeah.
And that's exciting to me because you know how cynical I am. I mean, Wolchuk and I had a pretty good debate about this in the opening hour. Like, I can't see any more than 10 wins. I think that's the absolute most, and a lot of it is because you can't protect Dak. Well enough. And in games last year against good pass rushers, it really made a profound impact. And if Brian was here, he would say, wouldn't you say Dak was better against pressure in 2025? And mm-hmm. I would agree.
Yeah.
But when it slowed down, it was a result of that tackle pressure. So if this is you got to find out. You got to find out this offseason how good Tyler Smith could be out there. He's obviously an all-pro guard. Is it possible he's an all-pro tackle? And then after that, if he's not, could it be a Pro Bowl left tackle and him with Bass is just going to be better than him with Guyton?
I think that is a possibility. I mean, I do believe, look, his rookie season, I thought Tyler Smith was really good at left tackle. And if he had have stayed there, we might be talking about him as one of the best left tackles in all of football. He moved inside. I think that his power, what they've got working with that interior three is something that I think they feel really, really good about. And they want to try and avoid this by all means. I mean, I think that's why they took Drew Shelton, because they do think he has a chance. Maybe it's Nate Thomas that they would compete over there. But I think we've seen TJ Bass can be a solid left guard in the NFL. I mean, is he better than what Tyler Smith is? No, not at all. But there is something to be said about maybe that is your best five.
Is he a better guard than Guyton is a tackle?
Right. Yeah, and I think, look, for Tyler Guyton, I think his lack of availability has been the Achilles heel for him because you saw him really start to take strides. I mean, you mentioned it with Nick. Like, we were out there during training camp, and all of a sudden, boom, there's the injury, and we were sick to our stomach because he was finally looking like this is going to be a starting left tackle in the league. Boom, he gets hurt. Now you got to restart the entire process. So him having a full offseason, a full training camp, getting preseason games, getting ready for week one, I think is a step in the right direction because he was raw coming out. I think we probably place unfair expectations because the Cowboys have just struck gold with first-round linemen. But this is make or break. Like, if Tyler Guyton cannot prove, boom, I'm your guy, and you start going into the season and you're feeling really good about this team really can compete in the NFC, I don't think you can screw around and keep him at left tackle. I think you got to make some changes.
I do think it's interesting, though, the numbers that you had yesterday about the like the on-off splits with Booker.
Yeah.
And the difference that made, because who was replacing Booker? It was Bass.
Yeah.
And so, like, the run game, and that can be a little bit muddy, and you'd have to go back and look at when those games were, and was it Javonte Williams kind of losing his legs by the end of the season? But Dawson had the numbers yesterday when you were at the recital, mm-hmm. Walchuk, where it's like the rushing numbers dipped precipitously when Booker was not on the field.
Yes.
And it was Bass that was replacing Booker. So... Because I'm
with you. About 5-10%, depending on what stat we were looking at.
Yeah.
It was just better.
Yeah, so that's just something to consider. I do like Bass. I mean, you love him as a depth piece. As a starter, I think, you know, for over the course of a 17-game season, would that be ideal?
Well, I think he's also better on the left side than the right.
Okay,
and I think that's a weird thing. Like, I don't know why.
Good.
But I think he has shown to just be more comfortable at left guard than he is right guard for whatever reason.
Yeah, that definitely makes a difference there. So I also know that Tyler Smith is probably doing everything in his power to, like, just manifest the idea that Tyler Guyton's going to be good. I do not think he wants to be on as a tackle. I don't think he wants that at all.
Well, it's unfair to him. You know, he'd be playing at like a 30% discount at that point. Like, I'm sure when they moved him from tackle to guard, okay, I'll go along with this. I'm trying to prove myself. I'm trying to be great. I've proven myself as great. Now you're going to pay me as a guard and then move me to tackle within 15 months?
Totally different skill set. You're going to put me on the edge with these ridiculous freak show athletes that could embarrass me, dude.
Yeah.
Like, it's not totally fish out of water, but kind of.
Yeah, yeah, it could, you know, it could definitely slow down my Hall of Fame path, or, you know, the possibility of making another All-Pro team.
And we were also talking about just the importance of the guard position now, the interior of the offensive line. You mentioned that the big three on the interior, mm-hmm. and how important it is for these teams now. Teams like the Ravens are taking a guard at pick 14.
Sure.
And the Cowboys have been a part of that. They did it with Booker last year, but that's hugely important.
Yeah, because of the defensive tackles,
and I wonder
right?
how much say Dak gets in something like that. Like, man, I'd just rather be secure right there at the front of the pocket, and I'll figure out. I mean, it's my blind side. It's important. Don't get me wrong. Left tackle. But I wonder if he would have a thought.
Yeah,
on
you don't
it.
Want the pressure right up the middle. We do have some Rangers news with Josh Smith right now, which is not good. He has been diagnosed with viral meningitis.
Oh, my goodness.
And he is recovering right now at a hospital in DFW. He's getting treatment. So that's expected to take 7 to 10 days, according to Kennedy Landry. And then he's going to begin a return to play program. But viral meningitis,
that sounds painful.
That's awful.
Sounds pretty sickening. Some of the symptoms of it can fatigue, headaches, neck stiffness, sleep disruption.
Ugh.
Trouble focusing, dizziness. Man, I'd hate to be in that situation and to have to go to the hospital for it. 7 to 10 day recovery. More common adult recovery, 2 to 6 weeks of fatigue, headaches, brain fog, dizziness, sensitivity to light, noise, low stamina. I wonder if that impacted him playing at all. Yeah. Like, is viral meningitis something that comes on board and you just feel kind of sluggish, and then after a while you're like, wait a minute, what's wrong with me? I don't know. I don't know if I've ever even heard about anybody having this, but seems like pretty common from what I can see here on Google. But back to Tyler Guyton. Thank you for that update on the Rangers,
Josh,
by the way.
If Josh Smith was going to get anything, I thought it would be mono, you know?
Yeah? Kissing disease?
Like, that's just the...
Popular guy, you think?
I think so.
Flowing hair?
Yeah, flowing hair.
Ladies are into it?
I'm sure. With his wife, you know, he just smooches a lot with the
100%.
Wife.
Absolutely.
Eric Nadel's coming up in about 10 minutes or so. We'll see what else we can learn about this Josh Smith situation. But yeah, Guyton... I'd say got to stay healthy, got to play well. If he stays healthy and we're getting through training camp, it's probably like, okay, let's see what happens, because when you're trying to figure out what it takes to succeed in the NFL, we saw this with Mo Claiborne, we saw this with Cheeto. If you keep having these injuries every time, 2 and 3, 4 months in, here we go, you're building momentum, injured. You can't get the experience and the muscle memory and learn your position well enough to ever just come back and be good. Like, Tyler Guyton's got to come back, and he's still developmental 3 years in, because he can't string together the good months of football that it takes to actually hit your potential and be good. So if he gets hurt again, we got to cut bait and go.
Yeah,
we can't keep investing this much time in a guy that can't stay healthy. And then if he plays poorly, probably by the time – You know, week three, week four rolls around. If we have no other option, then I think we have to be open-minded to this midseason as well, because you know, the pressure coming off these tackles is brutal. Pretty cool, the Tyler schedule release video. Saw follow-ups on this from Hoyt and Eagleton. Derek Eagleton runs a lot of the Cowboys digital entertainment content. They had total creative control. Basically, they, you know, they were given a concept and they just made it happen, right? So everything you see from those Tylers is them having fun, you know, directing the whole creative process behind it. As you probably are well aware, the offensive linemen, they can be some of the smartest, nerdiest. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where a lot of your Dungeons and Dragons players come from. You know,
a lot of your
sci-fi guys. That's your offensive lineman. Dak Prescott on the 11-hour flight back from Brazil. Sleeping on the plane's never been too difficult for me, said Dak. Some guys get all the luck, don't they?
Seriously, dude.
Very popular with the ladies, clearly. A plane sleeper.
Yeah, man.
He's starting quarterback of the Cowboys.
He struck gold.
He says, hopefully it doesn't start that week. Yeah, I've never been able to fly. You know, if I was the NFLPA, actually, I'd say, guys, we need to be getting those international planes. We're letting these billionaire owners off the hook.
Yeah.
Forget chartering a commercial plane and sitting here in economy, basically.
No, I need that pod where I can lay
yes,
down.
Yes, we need the lay-down pod, or at least everybody's first class.
A lay-down pod, man.
Woo. Like, now that we got all these days off and we have basically cannabis is okay, you know? We got the two biggest things that have been a pain in our ass for the last 20 years handled. Now we got to start getting into some of these jets. Yeah, there's only like 15 guys on the Cowboys that basically get a first-class seat.
Yeah, that whole story's crazy.
11 hours?
Like, that's nuts.
Yeah. Cramped in there?
You ever been on a crappy airplane and one of the flight attendants is like, yeah, you know, the Patriots just flew on this plane last week. You're like, really?
Yeah.
This is what they're flying on?
Yeah.
You'd think the NFL, man, they'd have this dialed.
I mean, in the NBA, there's like 12 dudes, so they're sitting there in lounge chairs just kicking it, you know?
Yeah.
Time of their lives. All right, we got to run. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Eric Nadel is going to join you for his Friday baseball conversation. We'll relive his birthday benefit bash and get the scoop on the Silver Boot Series, which will be underway tonight in Houston here.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Next in the Fan. Thank you, Lucius. We good? Okay. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Salute to Tim in Carthage who swung by. Maybe we'll be hearing from him coming up at the top of the hour. It'll be time for some What You Drinking and What You Thinking here on 105.3 The Fan. And speaking of that, we're going to get Eric Nadel here on the horn in just a moment. Do our regular Friday baseball conversation with Eric Nadel. The Eric Nadel Show brought to you by Kubota. And it's brought to you by TXU Energy. And, you know, every afternoon at 5 o'clock, we get you your what you drinking and what you thinking. And if you want to line those phone calls up now, might be a good time to get in at 877-881-1053. Of course, we'll have G-Bag of the Day coming up and then LA Live in under 1 hour. But it is Silver Boot time, guys. And I love Silver Boot time because there's nothing that's ever going to replace the memory of 2023. No. And before 2023, whenever Silver Boot came up, it had gone bad. It had been trending bad for about 8 years. But as a result of what happened in that ALCS, history is forever altered. And these series are one that I celebrate as Eric Nadel joins us now here on The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing fantastic. And speaking of celebrating, happy birthday to you, sir. How'd the big party go?
It was sensational. It was just an unbelievable night. The bands Chuck Prophet and Sammy Ray were incredible. The energy was fantastic. We had a huge mosh pit up at the front dancing to both bands, and we raised a lot of money for Grant Halliburton Foundation. We don't have the total yet, but I think it'll be comparable to the last couple of years when we raised $100,000 each night.
Well, congratulations, and can't wait to hear about next year's event. Before you know it, we'll be getting there. Okay. Okay. So the new, if you have anything else on that you want to share, go ahead. But I guess the news of the afternoon is Josh Smith down with viral meningitis. Have you ever heard of a baseball player getting meningitis, Eric?
I do remember it, actually. It's really weird how things stick in your mind. But I remember a guy who played for Cleveland, this was probably back in the 60s or early 70s, named Max Alvis. And I remember Max Alvis being sidelined with meningitis. But since then, I can't think of anybody coming down with that one.
Yeah, it seems like it can be pretty excruciating. So we just hope for the best with Josh, and we hope for the best with Corey Seager, who's getting tonight off. Eric, do you think that was the right decision?
Oh, no question about it. I was really surprised he didn't get Wednesday off, as much as he's been struggling. My guess is, you know, that manager Skip Schumacher didn't want to sit him down while he was in the Ofer. He preferred getting him out of the Ofer to then give him a day off. But since he didn't get a hit on Wednesday, you know, I think we're at the point where he definitely needs to sit for a night. This gives him the double day off, and I'm not surprised at all.
Did you sense that he was pressing, or some people suggested that it was worse than pressing, that maybe he was getting careless up there?
I don't know what the answer is to that, but you know, clearly he was chasing and he was missing pitches in the strike zone. And, you know, that's a bad combination. I don't know if it's because he was pressing. I don't know. You know, I don't understand the mechanics of his swing or anything like that. Tough to tell, but it's hard to imagine that once a guy has gone through a, say, 0 for 16 or 0 for 20, that he's not pressing. But, you know, that doesn't mean he can't get a hit. So I don't know if that's, you know, in any way an excuse or an explanation.
Eric, do you think we can sometimes make too big of a deal over, I mean, are you able to carry momentum from a walk-off type of victory like the Rangers had in that finale against Arizona?
Yeah, I don't believe in any of that. I think that's, you know, people say it's, you know, your momentum is only as good as the next day's starting pitcher. And to a large degree, it's correct. And, you know, you're also only as good, momentum's only as good as your batters keeping it going. And remember, in the last two games, the Rangers won, but they didn't do much offensively for the first eight innings of either game. So, you know, to say that there's going to be a big bump from this walk-off victory that was now 2 days ago, that's a bit of a stretch for me.
What are you expecting from Jake Berger, who after a slump of his own has bounced back last couple of games?
Well, Jake's a streaky guy. You know, he's in a good streak now, so I would expect he'll carry that through. You know, on this road trip, the Rangers will see some pitchers who are not the caliber that they've been seeing. Tonight's an exception, though. Spencer Arrighetti, he's a stud. He's having a fabulous year. You know, he started late due to injury, but once he got in there, I think his ERA is under 2.
It is.
He lost last time for the first time, but he only gave up one run, I believe. And he's a tough customer. This is going to be a tough challenge tonight. The next two nights, the Rangers facing pitchers who are certainly not the caliber that they've been facing over the first 40 games or so.
If you could give Jack Leiter some advice right before Yordan Alvarez gets into the box, what would be the advice?
Be extremely careful. You know, they don't have the thunder in front of and behind them that they used to have. You know, just think of all the guys who are gone now. You know, the Carlos Correas and the George Springers, and more recently the Alec Bregman. All of these things are definitely a factor in Yordan Alvarez and the way he gets pitched to.
Who's the toughest pitcher in baseball right now? We were talking about last night the Ohtani start and his ERA under 1 and what Skeens has done his last two starts going 8 innings. His ERA is 1.98 for the season, 1.97 for his career. There's a compelling case there. Who's your guy right now?
It's ridiculous. But, you know, at this point, it's tough to argue for Skeens over Ohtani just sheerly based on the numbers. I haven't really seen much of Ohtani pitching this year. I've seen Skeens a couple of times. They're both sensational. But, you know, based on what he's done so far, I think you got to go with Ohtani.
Okay, Eric, it is a Friday, and before we get these festivities started, would love to find out what you're drinking and what you're thinking.
I am drinking tons and tons of water today. Yesterday, as you could imagine, there was some physical abuse done to the body last night. So I have been rehydrating all day. And what I'm thinking is I'm just terribly grateful to everybody who was involved last night, all the people who came out, all of the sponsors who supported the event, the Grant Halliburton Foundation for all of their help in putting it together, and the Longhorn Ballroom. Their staff was simply amazing, and I really appreciate everybody helping to make it such a huge success. So I'm just feeling very grateful today.
Well-deserved night off for you this evening. When are you going to be back behind the mic?
I'll be back a week from Monday. I'm taking this whole road trip off.
Let's go.
And I will be back on Memorial Day, May 25th, when the Rangers take on those hated Astros again at home.
Well, thank you, Eric. Have a nice night, a great weekend, and we'll catch up with you next Friday.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. Eric Nadel with you here on 105.3 The Fan, brought to you by Kubota and brought to you by TXU Energy. And it's a great time now to pick up the phone and call in if you'd like to tell us what you are drinking and what you are thinking. NBA playoffs resume tonight. Kendrick Perkins, NBA analyst, was asked top five players to build around. Did you see his notable omission, Chief Wolchuk? Kendrick Perkins, top five players to build around, left out Luka.
Yeah.
No Luka Doncic.
Well, this is after his comments yesterday.
Cooper Flagg's in there.
Said he's starting to enter Joel Embiid territory, that when you need him most, he's unavailable. He actually had Jalen Brunson in there, the former Mav.
Oh, my gosh.
Clearly, Luka not on Embiid's level of injuries. I think Embiid has only played in 49% of 76ers games this decade. 49%. And Luka has missed about 22% of the games that he would have been available for the Mavs or Lakers. So he's, you know, not trending as drastically as Embiid. But if you would miss, like, next year's playoffs, if it happens again, it would be two in a row and three of four playoff runs that were greatly impacted by injury. And then the analogy of when your team needs you the most, like, you just keep having the bad luck of your injuries happen in the playoffs. And maybe the injuries are happening in the playoffs because you're wearing down. You're incapable of stringing together 3, 4, 5 months in a row without your body breaking down. Mm. You know, I thought it was maybe reckless, but how do you approve that if you're the producer? Like, hey, Kendrick, what's your hot takes for today? I'm going to say Luka's on the level of Embiid, right?
Yeah.
Or approaching that level. It's an interesting, you know, idea to think about. Could we be living in a world where in the next couple of years that happens? And if it did, what would be the lasting legacy of the Nico trade? Could it be the worst trade in the history of sports, but simultaneously also being a dodged bullet?
Yes. I mean, if it ends up the Embiid route, if that's where this ends up going, which he is not there right now, Luka is not there right now. It's funny because the initial clip of this, when Kendrick Perkins said it, he got community noted on Twitter.
Yeah. Did he?
Yeah. Because up until this postseason, Luka had only missed three playoff games in his career. Like, he played in all the playoff games in 2020, 2021, 23, 24, and 25. So it was the series
against the Jazz.
Yes.
Yeah, it was the 2022 situation where he missed a few games. But yeah, if this torpedoes for Luka and his health, then it'll make it a little bit more positive on the Nico side of things, but you'll never get over just what you got in return for him.
No.
And hopefully Cooper Flagg goes on to do amazing things.
No, but it's cool to imagine that as bad as that sucked, you could end up in a better spot.
Yeah.
You know, if you have the player that's not injury prone and there was something about Nico that was right and actually saved you, that would be nauseating to think about. And again, not there yet, but heck, maybe we're trending in that direction. You know, maybe Nico foresaw the future of Luka being unable to stay healthy. What do you think about that and the Cowboys schedule, the Texas Rangers, or anything else? It's time to take your phone calls at 877-881-1053, and we're back with what you're drinking, what you're thinking here on The Fan.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mysteries Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.